many of you wish you could sing like that? I will in heaven. I'm confident that God will do that for me. I got all this junk. I look like JoJo Moffat, don't I? I'm sorry. I had to do that to you. Isn't that mean? Junk. Well, no, you carry junk. You are not junk. You just carry junk. Well, I do too, I guess, now. I'm getting old enough. I guess I got to carry lots with me. I got to have my water bottle in case my throat gets dry. I'm so excited about being here. The music, the music just feeds my soul. You know, if I didn't come just for the music, I'd be glad to come to this meeting. But I'm glad to be here to speak, too, in case God wants to use me to do anything. My life has changed drastically in this last year because in January of this year, I took on producing the Christian Womanhood magazine. Now, you all, you've heard me speak. Any of you that have heard me speak, you know I'm not a speaker and I'm not a writer. I'm saying, God, why did you do this to me? You know, it's like a trial. You know, you've got health, I've got the magazine. No, I'm kidding. But I did take it on because I didn't want to see it in November. Those of you that were subscribers previously in November of last year, because of all the circumstances that happened at my home church, they chose to close the magazine. Well, my mentor and JoJo's mentor, Marlene Evans, started that magazine 30-some years ago, and so two ladies called me and said, Loretta, you can't let it close. I said, oh, yes, I can. It'd be easy, you know. And because I travel so much, they thought I would be the perfect person to do it. So I talked to my husband, and I was hoping he'd say, no, you got too much to do already. But he thought it was a good idea. So when the man gets with you and these two ladies, I thought, I have to do it. Well, one of the ladies that did it is Frieda Cowling. And I don't know if you know Frieda Cowling like I know her, but I think she's the Christian Martha Stewart. You know, she can decorate, she can cook anything, she can sew anything. She just is too smart for one person. That's what I think. So Frieda gave me her cookbook to help encourage subscriptions. And so anybody that gets 5 subscriptions can get this book of over 500 recipes. And, oh, they're great recipes. They're not just good recipes. They're great recipes that she's been, you know, she's old like JoJo. She's been cooking for many years. No, I'm kidding. Excited. Also, we have a maroon Bible out there. I only brought one, but I'll mail you, and if more people get it, I'll mail them to you, that you can get it for 10 subscriptions. Now, you want to know how much is a subscription. Say it. How much is a subscription? It's only $10. Yeah. Now, that's a deal. How many of you like a deal? You like a deal? The catch is you do not get a paper copy anymore. It only comes to your email, which means you can open it on your computer. And if you open it on your computer, I bought a flip program. You touch a button, it sounds like it's turning a page. It's so cute. You know, it's so cute. So you can download it on your computer, on your iPad, your iPhone, on your smartphones, on your Kindle. And I'll send an email you each month. By the 5th of each month, I'll email it to you. And you open it up and read it. Some of you that really, you're attached to a paper copy. I have a Kindle. And sometimes I still get real books because I like to hold the books, you know. You can print it off. I've got 2 copies back there that you can actually look at and see. There's lots of different articles in it. I'm using lots of different people. It's got a new flair to it, people tell me, only because it's a new personality putting it together, I'm sure. Not because anybody else was bad before, but it's just different because I'm different. Very different. Now, Jeannie has envelopes. Who would like an envelope you're considering? You don't have to say you're getting it to take an envelope, but you're considering getting a subscription. Anybody like that? Would you? Some ladies help her pass them out for those that are wanting it? Okay. I just want you to know about that. If you turn in 5 subscriptions, you get this cookbook. And this bag is back at that table. I'm sorry I can't include JoJo's stuff to it, but because... I just can't. But this bag is back at this table. Anybody that buys $50 worth of materials gets this bag. You get to take it home with you. And I would include your subscription in that, of course, also. Now, we're going to get right down to the talk today. Genesis 25, 21 through 23. Genesis 25, 21 through 23. I'm going to read it to you aloud. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, 2 nations are in thy womb, and 2 manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elders shall serve the younger. We're going to talk today about I am not compatible. You know that I'm not compatible with anybody. By the way, I did not mean to say that your boots were cheap. It's one of them word things that I said the wrong thing. You know I said that? That's terrible. I was really bad. I didn't mean it sound like they were cheap. I said they weren't a name brand that is comfortable, which I guess you could interpret that as meaning those are cheap boots. But do you understand, in your Christian life, in your churches, at your work, in your home, you say one thing and somebody else interprets it. It was a prime example. I would die before I tell somebody they had cheap shoes on. You know what I mean? I just wouldn't do that. But it did sound like it. And after I thought about it, I thought, oh, yeah, that did sound like I was saying they're cheap. You know, now I'm going to have to buy you a pair of boots, I guess. What size do you wear? Eight? Eight. And a name brand. Give her your Hershey bar. She's going to hear that. Hey, can you wear them on your feet? Jeannie, come on up here. We're going to get into it. I have a daughter, an adult daughter, and those of you that have adult children now, you know you have to treat them differently than when they were teenagers. You know, when they're teenagers, don't do that. What are you doing that? Don't you know what that looks like? You know, all that stuff. I do that. But now that I have this adult daughter, I got to treat her differently. I'm supposed to have the power of words to say it nicely and do things right. But because we're not compatible, sometimes I'll say something and she'll interpret it a different way. Romans 12:18. I want you to open your Bible there and leave it open. Romans 12:18. Romans 12:18. She's going to help me tell some stories on myself this morning. Romans 12:18. Whoever gets it, stand up and I want you to read it out loud. There you go. Read it out loud for me. Loud. I picked the right person to read that verse. If it be God knows all of us are human, so he said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, that means we got to work at this. You know, my whole thought is I have got to work at this relationship. I also, I usually do this, I have my daughter-in-law here. Now, you think it's hard to get along with your adult daughter. You try getting a daughter-in-law. She didn't grow up around you. How many of you are daughter-in-laws around here? Anybody a daughter-in-law? Yes, you know your mother-in-law says things that you think, where did that come from? Why is she trying to say to me? You know, she thinks I'm stupid. You know, all the things that you think. So I want to explain to you here. We read in the Bible how God even said there's two manner of people in your womb. They're blood relatives, and they still were two different people. So today's lesson is to try to teach you that there's two different people all around you. If you live with a man, he is definitely different than you are. He doesn't understand you, you know? And I'll tell you the truth, I don't understand you half the time, too. So that's what this whole lesson is about. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, you know we need you. You know how much I beg you to use this talk to teach us something that will help our churches to be better places. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, we're going to teach you about how different these two people are. Go ahead, Jeannie, you tell the first story.
All right. Test one, two. Okay, one of the differences between Mom and I is she is a very practical-minded person. I, on the other hand, am a very sentimental person. I cry very easily at supermarket openings, weddings, all that stuff. And so it was a long time ago when I was in high school. It was Christmas time. We were listening to Christmas music. And let me just say, I absolutely love Christmas music.
She walked
music.
In, saw all this stuff.
As soon as I walked in, I was like, oh, it just reminded me of Christmas so much. I love it. November 1st, I start listening to Christmas music. Anyway, we were the person on the radio said, this is a new Christmas song that came out, and it was called Christmas Shoes. I don't know if any of y'all have heard that song.
Oh, listen to the crowd. Listen to the crowd.
So by the end of the song, I am bawling. I just think it is the sweetest, most wonderful song in the whole world. And I turned to Mom, and I'm crying and wiping away the tears. I said, Mom, isn't that the sweetest song ever? And she looked at me, and she said, Jeannie, that is the stupidest song I've ever heard in my life.
Well,
talk about killing the moon.
It doesn't make sense to me that a little kid would save up his money to buy a pair of shoes for somebody that's going to die. And I mean, that just didn't make sense to me. You know, I thought, yeah, buy me some food that I enjoy, you know, that my last meal or something that I can really get something out of it. And so when I heard that song the first time, I thought, who wrote such a song? You know, it's about red shoes. You know that song? Okay, let's just see. Is there anybody that, when you first heard it, you really felt that way, that's kind of weird? I'm the only one in the room. I told you I'm different. Or else you're too scared to admit it to anybody. You know, I told Jeannie, I said, if I'm dying, don't buy me no shoes. You know, that's just how I think. You know, I got to be practical minded. Well, so then I realized I shouldn't have said that to her, you know, because the shock on her face, you know, here's tears going down her face and she went, you know, because that's such a put down to her. But go ahead, the next story.
Mom's a very fast paced person. You know, get her done.
You can't tell, can you?
You know, she has a job. She has ways that she wants to get it done, and do, let's get it done. I'm more of a laid-back kind of person. I'll take my time and everything. So we flew up to help with a friend of mine with her wedding. We're flying home, and it's late. It's a Saturday night, and we're both real tired. And so we land at the first airport because we had a layover, you know, to get to our next flight. So I'm sitting on the aisle, Mom's sitting by the window. And so we're standing up and people had started coming into the aisle, you know, to get ready to board out. And so I'm thinking, okay, there's somebody right in front of me, right here. So as soon as they move, I'll get right out here and I'll, you know, step out and we'll get to our next plane. Because I wasn't in a hurry. I thought, we got plenty of time for our layover and, you know, we'll just take it easy. I'm tired. Mom didn't feel that way.
I have principles. If I am this place in the line, I want to get out at that place in the line. So I don't want all these people from behind me coming up in front of me. It's a principle. Yesterday I was in line for something, and this woman, I was at the I was in the security checkout, and this lady, I was getting my computer out, and this lady zipped around me, and I looked at her like, I thought, now, should I say something to her? Let her know I know she's cutting in front of me? You know, I always think things like that. You know, I got to control my principles. You know, I got to control them. So I said to Jeannie.
So she was like, all of a sudden, she said, get out there. And she pushed me into the aisle. Now, of course, I'm not expecting this from my mother, for her to push me from behind. So I fall out into the aisle, and I hit this man.
Oh.
This man hit this elderly woman, and she almost fell over. He had to grab her, and he turned around. He gave me a dirty look, and I turned around. I gave Mom a dirty look. I am so embarrassed. I'm just standing there thinking, oh, my word. Everybody on the plane saw that, the pilot,
the flight
attendant.
We got out in time, though. We got out in just in the right order.
And I'm just so embarrassed, so I'm thinking, I got to get out of here. And I was so mad at Mom, so I just grabbed all my stuff, and I just trucked it out of
there. She usually got the stuff out of the top for
me. Yeah, normally
I... Because I'm old. I tell her all the time how old I am.
Yeah, normally I'd help her get her stuff out, make sure she has everything, but not, I just took out of there. And I'm just so mad, I'm just walking so fast. I get out into the terminal, and I'm thinking, okay, she knows how upset and how embarrassed I was. She's gonna come out so repentant. So, oh, I'm so sorry I did that to you, Jeannie. I'm just thinking, oh, all this stuff. So she comes out and she starts laughing hysterically.
If you could have seen her fall into that man, you'd laugh too.
She's just like, wasn't that so funny? And I said, no, that was not funny. I said, you embarrassed me in front of all those people.
And all of a sudden I said, get on the sad face. I'm so sorry. You know, when I realize that I'm being inappropriate, you know, I try to take on, you know, I'm so sorry, you know. But it was kind of funny, wasn't it? You see, Jeannie is an intense personality. You know, she's a very intense personality. I am really, you know, just sort of outgoing, you know. I whatever happens, you know, just go with the flow, you know, laugh at situations in life. Who cares, you know, but that's not Jeannie. So it's okay, Because we travel together all the time. And if I want her to pick a good funeral home, no. If I want her to pick a good nursing home for me, I better be good to this girl. You women don't realize who's going to take care of you when you get old. You know, it's usually the daughter. You know, I think my daughter-in-law likes me enough now, since I've been nice to her, that she will help fix a good place. But I'm not kidding. We've got to be aware that we're two manner of people. And we've got to live peaceably among all men. And somebody's got to make that decision. We got one more story, don't we?
We do. As Mom said, she's just very much a go-with-the-flow kind of person. And one thing I love about her is her ability to laugh at herself. I, on the other hand, am very pretty intense, more of a self-conscious person. And all that to say, we were running some errands. We were at a church. And for one reason or another, we couldn't use our truck. So me and Mom had to borrow my brother KW's truck. So we were running around town doing some errands, and we were running late. But Mom said, you know what, we got just enough time. You know, pull over to this Chick-fil-A and I'll run in and get us drinks, because we both are addicted to Fountain Cokes. We love them very much.
At least once a day.
That's right.
Whether we want it or not, we're going to do it.
So she pulled in. I mean, I pulled in because I was driving. She ran out and into the store because the drive-thru was really backed up. So while I'm sitting there waiting, I look at the gas gauge. And all of a sudden, I see the red light is on, and I'm like, oh my soul. I had been driving all morning, and I just did not look at the gas gauge, and I'm thinking, oh my soul, you know, we're going to run out of gas. I have got to pull over somewhere at a gas station. So she comes back out with the drinks, and, you know, she gets in there, and I said, Mom, the red light is on. I have got to stop somewhere. She said, oh, Jeannie, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. You know, we got
2.5 gallons.
We got usually 40 miles to empty. She said, we will be fine. I'm like, are you sure? You know, because I really wanted to stop and just go ahead, because I wasn't sure how long the red light had been on, because I didn't even think to look at it. So she's like, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Just keep going.
Surely you would have noticed that light on. You know, I just positive-minded person. That's just it.
So we pull out, and we're driving back to the church, and we're at this on this back road, and I'm going up a hill, and all of a sudden, I say, Mom, I really think we should have stopped for gas.
And I said, why?
And I said, because the truck just died. It's a big old one-ton dually, so without power steering, I was trying to pull it over onto the side, and thank the Lord, when it did die, there was enough of a shoulder I could get out without blocking traffic.
See, God always takes care of me.
And so we're sitting there, and I don't know about y'all, but whenever something bad happens, I automatically think of the worst possible thing. I'm already going through all these scenarios, and I'm thinking, this is a diesel truck. I don't know much about trucks, but Dad has always said you never let a diesel truck run out of fuel because it's so hard for it to get started.
Hear the rumble through here? They've heard that from their husbands, too.
And so I'm thinking, I just blew up my brother's truck. I'm going to have to pay for the engine to get fixed. We're going to have to rent another truck. How are we going to get to the next meeting? I'm already thinking of all these horrible things and what I've done. How am I going to tell my brother and his wife what I've just did to their truck? They're never going to let me use it again. All this stuff. And all of a sudden, from the passenger seat, Mom starts laughing.
Oh. Isn't this funny? We're sitting on the side of the road. I thought, look at how those people are staring at us. They think we're goofy. I think we're goofy, too. Maybe we should put the hood up or something so they think we're broken down instead of running out of gas. You know, I just started saying all these funny things.
And I'm thinking,
at least I thought they were funny.
And I did what I love to do when I get in trouble. I place the blame. And I thought, you know what? I looked at her and I said, this is not funny. And I said, really, this is not my fault at all. This is all your fault because I wanted to stop for fuel, but you wouldn't let me. And all this stuff. And she's still laughing.
That is so funny.
And I got to thinking, you know, there's nothing I can do about this. This is my mistake. It's my fault. And I said,
well, I have part of it. I do take blame when I'm, you know, I admit that I should have stopped and got gas. At least that's what I told Kevin.
And I thought, you know, one day I'm going to be, you know, the woman, the Holy Spirit of my home. And when things like this happen, I need to just learn how to lighten the mood, just laugh at myself. So we did start laughing until Dad got there. I did learn from mom.
Sad face.
My mama didn't raise no dummy.
Isn't
I was
this
like,
terrible,
oh,
Kevin?
Dad.
Can you believe I did this? I'm so sorry, and I don't know what that's going to take to get us back here. And this is awful. And don't you think I'm just terrible? And what am I going to do? And if this is blows up this truck, what am I going to do? I don't know. See, I'm all things to all men. Thank you. Now, some people call that being two-faced, but I call it all things to all men. I quote that verse all the time, you know, because I don't want to laugh at my husband, because I'm telling you, he would really get upset if I'm laughing about the truck running out of diesel fuel. I mean, he wouldn't like it at all. How do we get along with each other when we're not compatible? Number one, we respect each other's differences. That means that if my daughter is slower, then I'm going to slow down. Like when we go shopping, before the car's even stopped, I'm out the door and almost into the door of the store, because I want to get in there and get it done. I mean, I don't have time to fool around. That's what I think, you know? When she was a teenager, she always liked to go shopping. I never thought it was any fun to go shopping unless I had something to buy and had money to buy it. But she's weird. How many of you girls like to go shopping just to look? See, that don't make sense to me. You know, if I don't have no money, what am I going to look for? You know, and if I see it, what am I going to do about it? You know, not practical. You know what I'm saying? Not practical. But one time we went out. What happened? Don't look. I don't like the foo-foo stuff anyway, but I try to look good, because I got to be in competition with this young girl. No, but anyway, now I really consciously try to take my time and get out and wait for her. And one time the first time I realized that I was going too fast is when Jeannie, she said, "Mom, I thought we were going shopping together." As she's trying to catch up to me going, I said, "Oh, I'm going too fast, you know." I said, "What were you doing?" She said, "I had to primp a little bit in case there's a good-looking man in there. You know, I'm not married, you know, so." But you got to respect each other's differences. You know, I got a daughter-in-law that when she goes into a restaurant, she has to think about what she's going to order. You know, when I walked in Cracker Barrel, I knew it was either this or this. You know, that's just how it is. How many of you are like that? There's only one or two things in each restaurant that I'll get. I don't try new things because I don't want to spend my money on something I don't like, you know? If I order it and I don't like it, it'll just make me mad. I wasted my money, you know? So one or two things. When I go into McDonald's, it's always that dollar cheeseburger. You know, I know everything about what I want. But my daughter-in-law, you know, I used to say, "Can I run in and get something for you?" But now I don't do that. I just say, "You want to come in with me?" Because I know she's got to, and then I don't go speeding up there because I got to sit back and wait for her to look at the menu and try to decide what she wants. Does that mean she's bad? No. We're two manner of people. You know, and often, one time she was helping me do groceries, doing meals. And when I asked her, "Do you want to cook some meals while I'm gone?" And she said, "Yes." But I said, "Well, what would you like to cook?" Well, she couldn't think of anything right off the top of her head. So I took that to mean that she didn't know what to cook. So I made this whole list for her, went out and bought the groceries, came over and saw her and showed her the list. And I said, "These are all easy things. Won't be a problem." Because I thought maybe she's worried about what she was cooking. And all of a sudden, "You think I'm too stupid to be able to cook a meal? You know, you don't think I can think of something to cook?" And we had this real big discussion, and I'm glad she can discuss it with me. Some of you that somebody can't come to you and talk out a situation, it's because you're too volatile. You know, angry issues, you know, you get offended easily. You know, the Bible says that if I love the Bible, I won't be offended. So when my daughter-in-law talked to me about that, I just said, "Oh, I didn't even, I be willing to look at somebody else's perspective." You know, we have church. I don't know if you've ever had women get with each other and get in trouble with each other. Last week I was in a church, and there was one lady in the church that had it in for another lady in the church. Now, when I say had it in, I call that a scorner. That's what the Bible teaches. And if she had it in for another lady in the church and was going behind her back and saying things to her and saying things about her, and you know, it was very obvious things were going on. I didn't know about it, of course, because I was a visitor there. But that lady got right with God after this talk. See, when you get it in for somebody else, it might be because you just don't understand them. Respect each other's differences. That's Proverbs 19:11. "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression," or pass over a difference. In my mind, I'm just going to respect each other's differences. I'm not going to say Jeannie's bad because she's slower than I am. She's got some abilities that only a slow person could have. You know what I'm saying? She thinks, you know, she does weird things like thinks through what she's going to say before she says it. Me, I open mouth, insert foot. You know, that's, you know, she can do graphic design. Me, I look at something, I think, ooh, who wants to put that there? Who wants to take an hour sitting looking at this thing and stick things everywhere? You know, I don't have the patience to do that. Every personality is rich. Just respect each other's difference. Number two, somebody's got to give in. Somebody's got to give in. In February, my husband likes animals. I endure animals. You know, we got this miniature horse that travels with us. You know, people all come up, isn't he cute? And because I want to be nice to you, I say, yes, he's awful cute. And in my mind, I think he stinks. He, you know, he's, you know, we have to stop all the time to make sure he's got water. And, you know, I have, this week I've been cleaning his stall because my husband's up hunting. You know what you smell like after you clean a stall of a horse? Anybody know what that smells like? Ammonia. That's what I think. Ammonia, you know. And the smell just sort of lingers with you all day long. Yeah, this is my new perfume, Ode to Champ. And so we have a 13-year-old dog, and I've been counting down the years. Now, don't you animal lovers, don't hate me. Just give me a little break, you know, here. I've been counting down the years thinking, oh, you know, I'm not going to have a dog in the house anymore. You know, my white carpeting's not going to have dog hair. All these things. It's been just wonderful. February of this year, we went to Florida. I don't ever want to go to Florida again, Miss Ennis. Never, never, never. We went to Florida, and this man came up to Kevin and said, I got a dog that'll ride on your horse. And I thought, we don't want a dog that rides on our horse. You know, I don't. Who would want a dog to ride on the horse? Well, the man brought the dog out there, and that dog got right on Champ and acted like he loved Champ, you know. Well, the horse trainer that trained Champ with all his tricks told us, and in my presence, she said, if you do get a dog to ride on him or any kind of animal, said, make sure and put the animal in the stall or in the same trailer as him so they'll bond. So I thought, so as soon as that dog came around, I thought, oh, good, they'll bond. I don't have to put up with them inside the house. You know, I thought, this is really great. And so here's two differences. Kevin loves animals. He thinks he's supposed to, he thinks anything that he can do to get a soul saved, you know, that's great. And I think I've got enough souls saved. That's what I think in my mind. If it takes getting another animal, I don't care, you know, about seeing souls saved. In my mind, I think that way. I'm sorry, I'm being honest here, but that's the truth. So here he is over here, and he loves animals, and this dog came in, and I said to him, I went up to him, and when I want you to say yes about something, I'll shake my head while I'm asking you. This is a secret. So I said, Kevin, if you're going to get that dog, Dixie's her name, if you're going to get that dog, can she stay out in the trailer with Champ? Because remember that Mary said that they got a bond and love each other. And he said, no. And I said, no. And he said, no. But I said, why? And he said, because I got a bond with her first. And I said, oh, but can't you go sleep out in the trailer too? Now, let me be honest. I did ask him that, and I meant every word of it. And if he would have said the dog is sleeping out in the trailer, I'd have been, hallelujah! You know, it'd have been wonderful. But let me just tell you, I gave in. And it was quite a testimony to my daughter-in-law, and she said, you don't like animals. And I said, yes, but if my husband thinks we're supposed to have this animal to see souls saved, I'm going to put up with it. Every 2 hours, that dog has got this little tiny bladder. This last week, you know, he's up in the mountains hunting. This last week, every 2 hours we stop, I pull off the side of the road, take that little dog out, let her go tutu. You know, it's just a lot of work. You animal lovers, God bless you. You like a lot of work. You know what I'm saying? So now I don't have just one dog. I've got two dogs on my white carpeting. And at first we thought she was a Pomeranian, which they don't shed. So I was really excited all that week. Then we took her to a vet. We found out she's a Papillon, and she sheds. So now my vacuum cleaner looks like a white tornado because she's a little white fuzzy dog. Oh, you see all my, you feel sorry for me? Yeah, I do too. But Can I say this, though? How many things have you not given in on, and it's caused problems in your home, in your workplace, in your church? Let's just give in. You know, I've heard of people having problems with each other as they've been decorating. I don't know any stories from here, but I knew of a, I was just at a church last year, and they were decorating for a mother-daughter banquet, and one lady came in, and she wanted to put the it was a some kind of a frilly theme. She wanted to put shoes and purses and all that in the middle of the table, and another lady wanted to put them all around the edge of it, and they had a big fuss about it. And I'm thinking, we have got to get along with each other. This is so essential to us having harmonious and living a peaceful life. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, you know how passionately I feel about this. You know how much I want these ladies to get it, to get along with each other. But they've got to realize, they got to give in, and they can't have a will about things, and they got to respect each other's differences. Father, I pray that these stories will hit home the point, and it will help them to realize what they need to do and how different they need to be. I pray, Father, that if there is a lady here that's not getting along with somebody because of their differences, that she'll realize it, that she'll make it right in her heart and start treating the other lady differently. Just do a work, Holy Spirit, like you've never done before. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, who'd say to me, Loretta, boy, God spoke to my heart, and I see that there's somebody I'm thinking of that I don't get along with very well, and I think I can change and make a difference in that relationship. Is there anybody like that? You'd raise your hand. I can think of somebody I need to treat differently, and I need to respect them, and I need to give in to them more. Anybody like that? Wonderful. Thank you for your hands. Father, you know you saw the hands, you know the heart. Just please work in our lives and help us to be better for you. In Jesus' name, amen.